you're not in Exodus 3, I would ask you to turn there at this time. As we continue the series, Stories of Faith today, as we look at the well-known story of Moses and meeting God through the burning bush. And I want us to think about, as we think about walking by faith, how do we have a faith that grows, especially in times when we feel inadequate for the task? We don't feel like we live up to what we need to be able to do as a church or in our own individual Christian ministry or service, in our relationships or our marriages or in what we're doing in parenting. We feel inadequate, and we should at times, but how do we find the strength in faith? What do we learn about faith in times of inadequacy when it comes to us as a people of God and walking by faith? And there's five key principles I want to hone in on as we look at this story of Moses and the burning bush. First of all, just verse 1 simply, is preparation. Principle number 1 is preparation. God preparing us. And the application is to learn the lesson or lessons God's teaching us and has taught us, that's to prepare us for the part of service and work that we're in. You see verse 1 there, if you look at Exodus 3, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now remember where Moses is at this point in time in his ministry and his life. He's about 80. And remember, Moses had made an effort earlier on to free Israel through his own strength, but that failed. There were slaves, remember, he tried to set them free. He killed an Egyptian, and as a result, he suffered 40 years of separation from his people and family. And we must remember that God sometimes, as we think about this, he allows us to go through experiences ourselves that will prepare us for the future. He's got a plan in all that we go through. He never wastes a hurt. And we must remember the work that God has in store for us, looking out into the future, and what he will do to prepare us and make us into who we are today, to humble us and to get us to where we're leaning on him more and more and walking in faith. And God did that, you know, in this story with Moses, so that Moses would have to learn to lean on God for faith, through faith, for the task that he would have him do at this point, leading the people out of slavery, leading them through the Exodus. And God never wastes our hurts, our experiences, our times of waiting, whatever you're going through right now. If you're a believer, he's going to use it for his purpose and will. He never wastes what we're currently going through or what we've gone through in the past, because that's all part of God shaping us, preparing us for what we're going to be as men and women of faith right now, ready for what he's put before us. And we've seen that in other people in the series on faith, haven't we? With David last week, with Abraham. And the fact is, though, we've got to learn to recognize the lessons. Are you learning the lessons of what God is doing in your life to prepare you and me, to bring us to where we are, to use us as a church, to use us as Christians? We've got to ask God in prayer regularly to help us see. When we see better, more and more, what God is doing, we serve more effectively. As he opens up our eyes and we see lessons and we learn lessons more and more, how he's brought us to the place we're in for his purposes, we're growing. We learn to trust him. We lean on him. We're more effective in ministering and him working through us. When we see those lessons, we serve better. And so we'll see in those types of times what we're going through for his work more and more. Okay? We'll see more and more then the lessons he's trying to teach us and be able to serve and be used by him and minister to others in what they're going through. God wants to keep us humble, keep us dependent on him, knowing that it's only him working through us. We have this treasure, 2 Corinthians says, in jars of clay, don't we? So that we see the power, but remember, it's not from us. It's from God. It's like the story of his dad. He was out raking the leaves, and he was trying to get the work done in his yard, you know, and he finished the third pile, and his little two-year-old boy came out, charging out of the house, saying, "Help, Daddy," he said, "Help, Daddy." He couldn't say Daddy, right, of course, and he's holding his little plastic rake, and he's running out in the yard with his dad, wanting to help. And the dad, of course, is excited about the son's enthusiasm. knew he probably wouldn't get a whole lot done in the whole process. But still, he smiled at him, let him come in and help him with the fourth pile of leaves. And of course, the little two-year-old gets in the leaves, and they're going everywhere. You know, and as soon as the dad gets another pile done, the son comes in and helps Batty and messes it all around everywhere. And eventually the dad, with the son's help, is able to get the yard right. That goes on for hours, you know. And sometimes we feel like that, don't we, when it comes to serving the Lord? Like, God, how can you use me? How can you use our church? How can you know what I've gone through? You know what I'm incapable of, Lord. And that's where God wants to get us. To realize that, to get us to the end of ourselves, to where we realize it's Him working through us as a church that makes a difference. It's Him working through you. It's what He does through you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you as a church, as Christians. This is where Moses had to be brought to. He had to learn that lesson just as we do if we want to be affected of things and things for the Lord. Yes, we can feel like we're going to make a mess of things, and many times we will, but God still chooses to use people like Moses for His purposes. We're not going to be doing exactly what Moses does. I know that, but we still serve Him. He had a unique task, but we have a calling of a great commission. And to reach people for Christ, and you have a unique calling that God has for you to use your gifting and to serve in that bigger mission. And at times, we will feel like we're going to make a mess, but God uses us in the purposes He has, and He invites us to serve Him and be used, even though we're apt at times to make a mess of things. Even with all of our excuses, like Moses would go on to make in chapter 4, right? Our baggage from the past, God has an incredible way that He alone can do of taking it all the experiences and the pain and the problems in our lives and our feeling inadequate and weaving it together to work together for His good and for His glory. Amen? And God alone can do that. He'll work through our trials. He'll turn it around for good, Romans 8:28 says. And God certainly could have done another way. He could have rescued the Hebrews. But He chose to work through Moses, this weak vessel who realized his inadequacy. And God would assure him in Exodus 3:12, I'll be with you. And God never lies. God told the truth that He was. And God is with us as we serve Him. We will fall. We will fail. We will struggle. But He wants us to experience, get this, the joy of knowing Him, the Almighty God, in the things we're doing. That He's with us, that He's using us, that He's called us, and that He wants to be with us. He gives us comfort, the Bible says, in our trials and problems, so that we'll know that comfort and be able to share that, 2 Corinthians 1 says, with those that are around us. I mean, 40 years have passed since Moses, the once Hebrew and Egyptian prince, had left Egypt. And after that failed attempt to free the people and the Egyptian dying, after he ran into the wilderness, I'm sure Moses never in a million years would have thought that he'd be currently where he was, serving as a shepherd under his father-in-law, Jethro, in Midian. But there he was. But God had used the time for 40 years to prepare Moses for what was going to come at this point. To give him more of God's heart. To humble him. To break him. To prepare him. Make him compassionate. To be able to be ready to lead the people the way God would have him lead them out of Egypt. And through the whole process. As you know, if you know the story of the Bible. And even though Moses might not have realized it at this point, God does many times in leaders' lives, especially, and Christians, He has to humble us to get us ready. And the point is, don't overlook what God might be doing right now to prepare you. Learn the lessons God might be teaching you right now and ask Him to show you and help you to see what those are so that you can be effective in ministering. You feel inadequate, that's where God wants us to be. Then He'll help us to see what He alone can do through us for His glory. The fact is, God was preparing a shepherd for His people, so His chosen man had to learn how to look after somebody else's sheep. And he was learning that in Midian. The fact is, while Moses might not have been aware of it or thought about it all the time, I'm sure of all the ways God's hand was shaping his destiny, he did trust God in this, in the ordinary things of what God had taught him to do. And that leads me to the second point. Not only preparation and learning the lessons, but if you want to be used in times of inadequacy and grow in faith, is the principle of providence. Verses 1 to 2 help us to see that. We've got to the application is look for the signs of God's hand at work leading you to the task that he has for you to do. Verse 1 there, Moses was tending the flock of his Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock, get this, to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And so he looked and beheld, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. What I want you to see here about providence and looking for the signs of God's hand at work is that it was when he was doing the ordinary things well, learning those lessons, that Moses in that time follows the Lord to the place where he will meet the Lord in this powerful way. It was in the ordinary things, when he's learning the lessons. You see, the fact is, we talk about this a lot, don't we, around these circles in our church here, at the Alvin Prez. There's nothing that happens by coincidence. And God uses things in our lives to lead us to where we are, to this point, to make us to the people of faith that we are, to be ready for service. I love the story Cliff Barrows tells of when he met Billy Graham. Cliff Barrows was a music partner with Billy Graham for many, many years. And in 1945, before he had ever met Dr. Graham, he and his fiance were going to get married. And they had scraped together just enough money for the wedding and then for a honeymoon at this resort hotel, the train tickets to get there. But they got there, and they found out that the hotel had been closed down. And so there they were, with hardly any money to scratch together, in an unfamiliar city, and they were brought to this grocery store by this driver that picked them up, and knew this lady, and said they could stay there above the grocery store on their honeymoon. Not very romantic. But the next day, the lady overheard Cliff playing songs on his trombone, and she arranged for them to spend the rest of their honeymoon there for the week. Several days later, the host invited them to attend this youth rally where a young evangelist by the name of Billy Graham was preaching. Well, the song leader that night was sick, and Cliff was asked to take charge of the music for the service, and the young evangelist, of course, being Billy Graham, they met together, they connected, and they were together in ministry ever since. Don't ever look. There's no coincidence. The point is, we've got to ask God to help us see what we need to see to recognize his hand in our lives. We feel inadequate, but when we start to see how God's working and see his providence more and more, this is what Moses needed to see, what we need to see. God could have appeared to him, however, wherever he wanted, but he chose this place, Mount Horeb, for a reason. Why? It's where the big tent, it's where the commandments from God will be given. See, God wants us to see how he's at work. There's nothing by coincidence in our lives as Christians that we're where we are and the opportunities God brings. It's all a part of the plan he's orchestrating, and that gives us encouragement when we're seeking to serve the Lord. He's at work in what we're going through. We feel inadequate, but God's at work. I like the story of this 14th century Italian stained glass artist who was summoned to design this huge portrait of this cathedral many, many years ago in France. And the artist laid out all the pieces he was going to use out on the floor of this cathedral, and they were beautiful, it said, and large, most of them, and colorful. But among these great pieces of stained glass window was this small, clear piece about as big, it said, as your fingernail. And as the stained glass portrait, this Italian artist was assembling this, this little piece was on the floor. Nobody messed with this little piece of glass, it said. Only the big, colorful pieces were used. And on the day of the window's completion, this tiny piece of clear glass, still ignored, was there. The entire city gathered around to witness the whole thing, the unveiling of this beautiful portrait. And the artist stood in front of the crowd, made his speech, and he dramatically pulled down the cloth cover. And the crowd gasped at the beauty of the colorful window as the sunlight was coming down. But after a few seconds, however, the crowd was silent. They sensed something was missing, and the portrait was unfinished. And this great artist walked over where that little clear piece was and picked it up and put it in the portrait right there in the picture in the center of Jesus' eye. And the sun, it said in the story, hit that and it gave off this dazzling sparkle, just that little piece. Folks, sometimes we feel like that. We feel like Moses, untalented. He makes excuses later on about how God could use him. He couldn't speak well. And all of these things. And we can feel there's too many barriers for God to use me. How can God use us as a church? Do we have what we need? Are we able to do what God has called us to do? But what we miss is that God is the one that gives us our calling and our purpose. And He promises to work through us in the inadequacies. And we've got to remember that. And that's so important for being used by the Lord and what we're called to do. God's plan is tailor-made to our uniqueness. And each of us, God uses circumstances to lead us to His will and show us His hand at work in our lives. And that ought to motivate us. That ought to encourage us when we feel inadequate. Peter Lewis said, there was a time when Moses was a somebody, you might say. He said he was raised by one of the daughters of the reigning Pharaoh. Moses was educated in the most sophisticated civilization of the day. He was a friend in the high places of the Hebrews to whom he belonged by his birth. But he had lost that focus, let's say. See, God does nothing of what Moses might have expected in order to do something far beyond his expectations. But this is the way God works. He does things in His own way, by His own timetable. The fact was, Moses had all of these advantages, you'd say, and sought to use them, but he ended up murdering an Egyptian, fleeing the country. Maybe at this point, Moses struggled with guilt and feelings of failure and confusion. What can I do with my life now, God? He might have thought. I guess this is it. I guess no one really remembers me now. I'm yesterday's hope. All I do is keep these sheep. Reminds me of the story of Charlie Brown in the Peanuts comics. He's talking to Linus about a pervasive sense of inadequacy that he feels all the time. Charlie says, you see, Linus, it's like this. It goes all the way back to the moment I was born and I set foot on the stage of life. They took one look at me and they said, not right for the part. We feel that way sometimes. But little did Moses know at this very point what was about to happen, that God had been moving and working and even used his failures to bring him to this place where by God's grace he would be ready for what was ahead. Our failures, by God's amazing power and grace, are transformed into an even brighter future because of who God is. You might feel right now of little use to God. Can God use me? Maybe you feel your damaged goods, or you know someone like this, or you're unable to minister, you're inadequate to do it. Moses must have felt that at times. At this point, we feel that way over guilt of mistakes and sin in the past because things don't work out the way we thought they would. We can feel like we're never going to be able to do what we're called to do with the job we're in our family, in our relationships. Maybe we wanted this to work out or that to go a certain way, but they didn't go the way we hoped. And here you are in your Midian, in your wilderness, the fields of Midian. That's where Moses was at this point. But let me ask you, how sensitive are we to what God has shown us? Are we learning the signs, looking for the signs? Are we seeing what God is trying to show us in His Word? Do we believe in His goodness and power? Are we looking for what He's up to right now? We might look at the situation as impossible to overcome. But for God Almighty, it's a minor hurdle. We might only see how things have gone astray, but God is weaving these things together for His great, grand plan. The fact is, God, folks, had to empty Moses of worldly connections that he had in Egypt, especially, I believe. Pride and self-reliance, that had to be sweated off in the deserts and the disappointments of Midian. And the truth is, we are more useful to God, folks, when we feel that our usefulness to him or anyone else is at an end. Because then, as I said earlier, that's when we really come to the end of ourselves. That's when we find what strength that comes, the endless strength that comes from God alone. It's only then when we know we can do it that by the grace of God we see how he will do it. We, a lot of times, someone said, thinks that God is looking for people with all the great qualifications, with eloquence. This person said he doesn't need impressive qualifications, but he needs men and women who are dependent, available, filled with his spirit, looking to him to do what God alone can do. And that's essential. And that leads me to point number three. Not only preparation and learning the lessons, and providence, and looking for the signs when we're in times of inadequacy. How does God show us and strengthen us? Number three, posture. The principle of posture or position. We see in verses 2-5. And the application is to listen. Listen to God's voice when you are where you are in worship. We see verse 3, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. And so when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And the Lord said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I remember Bert Pierce, when I first visited here for 2 weeks, a Penn Padre, a friend of a number of us, he told me when I was considering the call to Australia, he said, you know, Ben, we're always singing the song, here I am, Lord, send me. But how many of us, he said to me, when it comes down to it, are really willing to go? You know, I'll never forget one time many years ago when I took evangelism training down in Florida, in America, at a big church, Coral Ridge Presbyterian, and with the guy who started Evangelism Explosion, Dr. James Kennedy, who went on to be with the Lord. He was the pastor of this big church, a Reformed church there, and I was able to go down there. Kind of a hero of mine at the time as an early, a new guy as a pastor. And I went for this training, and it was a full week-long thing. We're learning about evangelism, and we'd go out and do on-the-job training and go out and visit people and share our faith. And you had a trainer and two trainees, and I found out at the end of the week there's only a few of us out of the 40 that were going to be able to go with Dr. Kennedy and do on-the-job training. But I was one of them. I was blessed by that to be able to go myself and another lady, Dr. Kennedy. And there I was, riding in the car with my hero, one of my heroes, Dr. Kennedy, and I didn't have anything to say. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to open up my mouth and ask him all these questions. I had him right where I wanted him. You know, I could have talked to this great guy that I looked up to, but I was dumbfounded. Well, you know, Moses, the most important thing is he's humble here, isn't it? He's humble. This is, in a much, much, much incredible way, he's standing before God, called by God to set his people free, to lead them out, and certainly the most important thing was humility. But it's also important here, I think, that we see that he understood who this great God was that called him. The balance of that humility and the sense of an awareness that this God is calling me, who he is, and that he's with me. And that confidence that comes in knowing this God, that in our inadequacies, we know this God has called us, and we're humble, and we're before him. Hebrews 12 says, verse 28, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. We serve this great God with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Do we listen to God? Do we stand before God in humility? Richard Phillips said the imagery in Hebrews here is of God as a raging fire, speaks of his holiness and the reverent fear with which we must always treat him. God can never be treated lightly. We who are saved by grace realize, though, we serve a God who is a raging fire and a holy God. You know, C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's a scene where Aslan, the one that stands fictionally for Jesus, this lion, he's at this stream of water, and one of the heroines, Jill, comes up to drink, and she sees Aslan, the lion, there sitting by the water, and terrified, she stops in her tracks, and the lion invites her and says, if you're thirsty, then come and drink. and she's thirsty. She steps ahead, and then she says, "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I come?" He said, "I'm making a promise." And Jill recoils, "Well, I dare not come and drink." And he said, the line says, "Well, you'll die of thirst if you don't." "Oh dear," she says, "I must go to another place and drink." But the line says, "There is no other place." See, we've got to have, if we're going to have a thirst of our soul filled by the waters of eternal life and be used by God, we have to deal with God as He is. He won't move out of the way for us. He won't become what we want Him to be, a chummier kind of God, more palatable. He is who He is. He's not saved, but He's the Savior. He's the God of grace and power and majesty who shakes the heavens, someone said, and earth, but He gives His own the kingdom that will not be shaken. And all, folks, what we have to remember when it says we can do all things, it's not because we're wise we can do all things. We can't serve the Lord and make an impact because we've got the ability. No, what does Philippians say? Philippians 4, we can do all things through Christ. When we understand this, you see, the burning bush is a picture for Moses, I believe, and every Christian as we look at it, of our posture before God as we trust in Him and rest in Him. The point of Moses taking off his shoes, partly, is a lesson in simple obedience. That we must bow humbly to whatever God requires of us, rejoicing in the simplicity and effectiveness of His provision towards us. That we're able to even come in His presence at all is incredible. That He would use us in any way to serve Him should blow our minds away. And Moses had to learn that lesson first. We can't be used of God if we're not first of all made aware of our total unworthiness and to be grateful of whatever God calls us to do. We got to remember that. Moses says, "Here I am." But God says, "Hold up. Don't come a step closer." In other words, realize, you need to realize who you're dealing with here, where you are, what this means. Realize what it means to stand in my presence. Realize you don't need what man is man-made to make an impact, to serve me. Realize that we bring nothing before God that makes us valuable to His work ultimately. We've got to all remember that, don't we? And boy, when we get a hold of that, as God helps us to see, and we have that posture, and we listen. See, to be useful with our hands, we got to come. If we want to serve God with our hands, we got to come with empty hands. Continually do that. If we want to be filled with love, God's love, we need to have hearts that need to be filled, that are empty. If we want to have words that make a difference to people, then we've got to come and listen to God's word. Posture. Humility is essential in service. Number four thing, not only preparation and providence and posture, purpose. And we see it in verses 6 to 10 here. We've got to live by God's purposes. Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people." That's essential there. "I've seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, flowing with milk and honey." Verse 9, look at that. "Therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God meets Moses through this bush, reminding him of his holiness, telling him now why he's coming to him. Purpose. Why? Because God hasn't forgotten his people. Because he sees their pain. He feels their misery. He wants to set them free from the oppressors, the Egyptians. It kind of reminds me of when a kid is getting bullied and this goes on for a while, and then the big brother or the big sister finds out. Watch out. God says to Moses, God says, "I have seen it and I'm moved and I care about them and you, and I'm going to set them free and lead them out, and I'm going to use you, Moses, to do this thing." Moses objects to his call, saying, "Who am I?" Yes, there's a sense that he's making excuses. I know that. When you look at chapter 4, you see he's making excuses. But he was also stating the fact, folks. Moses was saying, "Lord, look at me. Consider my background. I'm a shepherd. I've been doing this for 40 years. I tried the leadership thing. Look at where it ended up. A man was murdered. I mean, besides, Lord, I'm not the best speaker either. In other words, this is so incredible, Lord, and the only one that could possibly do it is you." He's stating the fact. It's true. Moses was overwhelmed at the greatness of this mission God was going to call him to be a part of. And yes, God alone would be able to deliver the people, but God chose Moses, his servant, for the task. And God has a commission for us. He's got a calling for us, you know, as a church, to reach people for Christ, to teach people and disciple them and minister in Jesus' name. If you've been a Christian any amount of time, you realize this. We're to be salt and light. And folks, what we've got to get is to understand how awesome this mission is that God calls us to do. We can't do it. When we realize that more and more, that we're inadequate for it, but yet God calls us to do it, therefore He will use us because it's His mission. He works through us. Well, that empowers us. We live by faith, as we said this morning. We serve by faith. We only can do it because God will empower us and work and work in people's hearts. And so we ought to be confident in God, but yes, overwhelmed, first of all, that God has this incredible thing that He calls us to do. So that we go through a kind of Moses experience ourselves. Don't we? We go through it when we first get saved and when we want to serve the Lord, but well, at times we go through this type of thing where we're saying, you know, I'm not rejecting God's call, but we're saying, who am I to do this, Lord? Who are we to do this? Why have you called us? And we realize we don't have the strength and the wisdom, but we know that God alone is working in us and living through us, and He's made powerful promises, 2 Peter 1. Look that up. And He will work through His people. You know, I didn't plan on being a pastor. I don't know if you realize that or not. Many years ago. Never liked the idea of standing up in front of people and communicating, giving speeches. Never really my cup of tea. I think I even told my mom one time, "Well, I know, Mom, you know, what I want to do, I want to be a pastor." Of course, God had other plans, didn't He? I'll never forget one time in a communication class in the evening, I gave this report on the zoo, and I was up there with my cue cards and trying to give my report, sweating bullets, you know, just like, oh, I'm not going to get through this. I never would have thought that I'd be a preacher or doing this, but when I came to Christ, God burdened my heart with this gospel that had changed my life and God's purpose to save people, that He saved me. And if He would save me and my life could be changed like this through this gospel, I had to be involved somehow in letting others know about it. I didn't know what it would be at first, but I knew I had to be involved in that purpose. We've got to live by God's purposes. I believe this is what God showed Moses here. In these particular verses, He shows us as Christians we have to be reminded of. It's like this king who sent out one of his knights off on a rescue to rescue a fair princess, the story goes. And just as the knight was riding from the castle and the drawbridge was closing down, the king yelled out from the ramparts, "Don't be afraid of the dragon!" And the knight looked back and said, called back and said, "Dragon? What dragon?" We feel like it's somehow. Look, God didn't show me how it's all going to work out. But He's a faithful God. And He uses us. And it was that eternal significance of the gospel that God used in my life to change me, help me overcome fear and inadequacy of how God has worked through me in a way that He wanted to. And I know that God uses our different talents and gifts, and I know He uses natural abilities. They're all God-given abilities, but don't shortchange what God will do through you, His power working through you when He calls you. Serve. He can use us in ways that we can't imagine above and beyond, and we need to remember that. And the more I realize the greatness of the good news and this powerful, that I come across the truth, God had shown me the truth, that overcomes so much when you know, when you're sharing, when you're speaking, when you're serving, And it's different for all of us in different ways of where we are, what God's called us to do. But the more we realize that God has called us and what we're called to do fits into the big picture of God's great purpose, the more we're motivated to serve, the more we overcome inadequacies. Knowing that the Lord desires to impact lives for eternity through us ought to impact us, whether it be in our homes or with our friends or children, our jobs, and of course through the church. God ought to remind us of the greatness of the call. And the final thing here as we close is we need God's presence and power to preparation, providence, posture, purpose, and presence and power. We see in verses 11 to 15, but also you can read on your own in chapter 4, kind of deals with some of these principle and this truth as well. And that's to lean on God for his power constantly. Of course, we have to do that. Verse 11, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "I will certainly be with you," God said. "This shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. And when you brought the people out of Egypt, you'll serve God on this mountain." And then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am